Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
and happy Thursday. What a couple weeks it has been in Memphis, Tennessee.
It is pretty dope.
How long ago was it that game day was here? Didn't it, was that like, it, now it feels eons ago.
It was not the previous Saturday, but the Saturday before.
Something like that. So we had game day. We had that colossal game against SMU. We had the full house at the Liberty Bowl. We had all
the win.
With a win, and then you have the ensuing coaching rumors, right? Like we really even talked about. Jonah Jordan's going to join us. Maybe we'll talk to him about that a little bit. There's some question as how good the Arkansas job is. How good is the Arkansas job? In other words, has it been? There's a story at, it will be a million things to get to today, and this is not at all the top of the list. There's a story at ESPN is today about whether Nebraska is too far gone for Scott.
Yeah,
Frost.
I saw it.
I didn't read the story. I read the headline. And but at some point, programs become so downtrodden and diminished that they look impossible, right? And is Arkansas so far gone? And by the way, in the SEC West, the loaded SEC West, that it's the job has changed?
I tend to agree with your opinion, in which I believe I think you said this when we were talking about the Tennessee job, and that, yes, the Tennessee job does not have the cachet that it once did, but it is still one hire away from back being the Tennessee job. And I think when you have a job where people care, it does, you do have to make
the right hire. So you think it's still a good job? You think Arkansas is still a good job? Is that what you're saying?
I think it is a good job nationally in terms of in the division. I think you definitely obviously rather have Alabama, you'd rather have LSU. I think you'd rather have Auburn, and I think you'd rather have A&M. You start splitting hairs to me when you get
it's
up to that.
It's questionable. Anyway, so my point is we haven't even talked about that. So so we've had the we had game day. We had the colossal game that followed. We've had the coaching rumors since. We've had the James Wiseman story, which then ate the game day story, basically.
Boy, did it.
And everything that involved. We had the Friday night when he played. We had going to Portland. We had basically it's everywhere. It's everywhere. I was on NPR yesterday talking about it. And we have more on that, by the way, which we'll get to in a moment. And then last night, because the Grizzlies don't want to be left out, we have Ja Morant with a signature winning bucket in absolutely, honestly, it was at the end of a game where he was extraordinary at the game to begin with, and then he finishes with a iconic moment, which, by the way, is the game before, the game that precedes Mike Conley's return, perfect timing, Mike coming back, and yet we have a clearly a new star, it appears, in the backcourt for the Memphis Grizzlies as they defeat Charlotte last night in thrilling fashion. It has been a crazy 2 weeks and a lot of fun on all kinds of levels. Today on the show, Jonah Jordan is going to join us in the next segment, as I mentioned. He's headed to Houston. Memphis has a big game against Houston. We'll talk to him about the Wiseman situation, about the game against Houston, about coaching rumors, and all the rest. Barrett Salee will join us after that. In all the Memphis news, we have somewhat lost sight of the fact that college football is really interesting, including a classic this past weekend between LSU and Alabama, and the ensuing release of the college football playoff rankings. We'll see what Barrett has to say about all of that. Chris Harrington, of course, at 10 o'clock. We will talk to him about what happened with the Grizzlies last night, about Ja Morant. He has a piece up, 10 takes after 10 games. And so he has a piece up at the Daily Memphian. You will absolutely want to read that. Then Steve White will join us. And isn't that perfect timing? Because Colin Kaepernick is back in the news. The NFL has offered him a pro day of sorts, a tryout day, Saturday. Weird, honestly. Weird story. And we'll talk to Steve.
If it caught you by surprise, it also caught Colin Kaepernick by surprise.
That's what's weird about it. They told Colin Kaepernick, hey, by the way, we're having this day on Saturday. It's not on Tuesday, which is the day when players normally work out, right? That's when it's on Saturday, when honestly most GMs and coaches are busy. Like they can't go to a tryout on Saturday. We aren't planning it with you. We're not telling you about it. You have 2 hours to accept. And by the way, you don't get to see a list of who's coming. It's just weird. And then you can argue it's a PR stunt, right? Except all it is bad PR. Like, what kind of a PR stunt is it? No one was talking, with all due respect, like, no one was talking about Colin Kaepernick. It's been a great year for the NFL.
Yeah, I think
quarterbacks are interesting, ratings are up, et cetera, et cetera. It's not like they needed to quell some Colin Kaepernick controversy. People had, by and large, moved on.
Yes, Mike Florio's opinion, I believe, yesterday was that he doesn't believe it is a PR stunt. He does believe that there could be motivation for the NFL to offer this in order to avoid a second grievance from Colin Kaepernick.
It's just weird. We'll talk to Steve about that as well. So Jonah Jordan, Barrett Salee, Chris Harrington, and Steve White all will be joining us on a jammed-packed day. Before we get to the Grizz highlights, we do have the audio of Ja's game winner, in addition to all the other fine calls from Eric Hasseltine. Did think I'd briefly address the James Wiseman situation. Gary Parrish yesterday on his show when I was on the air, and then he subsequently wrote about it over at CBSSports.com, said that he is hearing that the two sides may be, or three sides, however many sides it is, Memphis, Wiseman, and the NCAA, may be closing in on some type of settlement, and that you could be hearing about it as early as today, tomorrow, basically soon. It was a I'm hearing kind of report from GP. As I said yesterday when he brought it up when I was on the air, I do not doubt that. It's clear to me, of course they're talking. Randy Fishman, who was on the air with me Monday, said there has never been, I asked him what could happen between now, meaning Monday, and the next court date, which is Monday, when there's a hearing that is set to replace the temporary restraining order with an injunction. And I asked Randy that question, and he said, oh, I would hope that there would be discussions. I've never had I've never been in a lawsuit where I was not willing to talk to the other side, essentially openly inviting conversations with the NCAA. And as then I subsequently wrote, I understand the bag of hammers and the doomsday scenarios, whatever else, and on both sides. I understand that some have on the Memphis side have been talking about a revolution and overturning the NBA and the NCAA and ending the NCAA as we know it and whatever else. And on the other side, it's Memphis is going to never play basketball again, and they're going to be hammered with the death penalty, and there's absolutely no reason for the NCAA to settle, and et cetera. And I have always maintained that it only made sense for both sides to work this out. Made sense for Memphis, obviously, because I do think in the end they might not. It seems unlikely that they would prevail in the end, and we don't know what victory would necessarily look like. You're playing. They don't want this. They wanted to get it settled in May when it was supposed to be settled. And so clearly from the Memphis side, if you take away all the bad things that could happen, that would be a good thing. If you replace the unknown possible penalties with known consequences, of course it makes sense from the Memphis perspective, even if it means that James has to sit out some games. And from the NCAA perspective, this is a situation where literally everyone in the universe is on Memphis's side, so far as I can tell, except for Seth Davis, right? I mean, have you seen anyone basically? I mean, people say Jay Billis. Jay Billis hates the NCAA. He's not, and he simply describes, he has yes. described the potential downside for Memphis, but he hasn't said Memphis deserves that or anything like that. I literally, whether it's Bomani Jones or Stephen A. Smith or LeBron James, or everyone is saying you go Memphis. And so the NCAA is getting clobbered on this one, and at a time when they're already getting clobbered, when they don't really need this, they have enough in their plate, and there's a kid at the center of it who, by all rights, is a great kid and is exactly the kind of kid who you want representing NCAA college basketball, student-athlete. He's your quintessential student-athlete. Takes Mandarin, for heaven's sakes, and dunks the basketball. Like, what student-athlete, what more do you want? So I've always thought it made sense for them, and that's why I've written twice now. Settle this thing. Let's be done. It's the obvious solution, and it was partly informed by the fact that Randy Fishman indicated that that was something that they were certainly amenable to as well. Now, it doesn't mean, and Gary never didn't report it, this is definitely happened. He didn't report the contours of the settlement. Nobody knows the contours of the settlement, if there is a settlement, and obviously it could break down. If they're having discussions, as Gary reported, and as Randy Fishman invited, discussions are only discussions until they're done. And so who knows? Maybe proposals have been swapped and whatever else, and those things can break down. But it has always made sense to me that it would play out this way. And whether it's 3 games or 8 games or 9 games matters from the perspective of Memphis basketball and this season, but it doesn't, to me, honestly, matter that much. What matters is that we have it figured out and that he's back playing basketball. And that, honestly, as long as he's playing by January, I'm happy. I guess the first conference game is Tulane, and I can't believe it would go that far. So there you have it. I do think that there is, in terms of a timeline, I do think that there is some urgency to this because of the hearing on Monday. Right now, all we have is a temporary restraining order that was not contested. The University of Memphis went racing down to the courthouse, or James Wiseman's attorneys, I mean. James Wiseman's attorneys went racing to the courthouse, and without any opposition, objection, whatever, because there was simply no time, they got the temporary restraining order. At the injunction hearing, both sides would put on their case in terms of why an injunction is needed or not, and then the judge would rule, and that could be in place for a good long time. Now, that doesn't mean that has to be the end of discussions if we actually get to the hearing, but I think if we got to the hearing, it would be a bad sign. I think there is some urgency, if they're going to get this thing knocked out, to get it out before that, to finish it before that hearing, and so I don't know whether if there is a settlement announced, whether it's going to be today, tomorrow, whatever, but I would think that it would be by Monday. And it may be Monday, but that's what I would imagine, consistent with GP's reporting on this. So that's where we are with James Wiseman. They play Saturday, and I expect right now that he will be in the lineup, and that's where we are on that. Now we turn our attention to the story of the day, the triumph of a winning streak, by the way, by your Memphis Grizzlies. We celebrate a winning streak by playing highlights. Let's do it.
DJ Khaled!
Today, I made a decision. We're just going rookie highlights. 100%, because how often do we get a chance to do this, ladies and gentlemen? It appears the Memphis Grizzlies knocked the draft out of the park. We are going 100% rookie highlights, starting with the man of the hour, Ja Morant, steal and layup.
Here comes Rozier into the front court. Cut off by Brooks. Bounces for Zeller. Stolen by Morant. Morant goes at Graham around his back. Dribble to the rim. Lays it up and in. Oh, beautiful dribble move by Ja Morant. Going right back to the rim. Lays it in.
He was unbelievable. He was unbelievable before the unbelievable ended. That was 23-11. Controls the game. We had warned you that point guards take a while to adjust in the NBA. Never mind.
Ja heard our challenge.
More Ja Morant.
Morant in between the circles around a screen from Valanciunas. Left elbow goes by Martin to the rim. Lays it up and in. Nice strong move by Ja Morant. 31-28, 11-25. Grizzlies get their first basket of the second quarter.
More Morant.
Morant splits a double team with an around the back dribble. Gets into the paint. Got fouled. Gets the bucket. And he'll get one more. Oh my goodness. Ja Morant with a magical move in the lane. Gets it onto the window. Gets the hoop. And he'll get one more. An around the back dribble that froze the defense. And you hear the oohs and ahs. Watch this replay. Around his back. Hangs in the air. Got the contact. Still scores the bucket. Wow.
How many oh my goodnesses or wows or whatever with Ja Morant do you get? This is something that we have not seen from the Memphis Grizzlies. But he was not the only rookie who was putting it on last night. Here's our buddy Marco.
Rebound tapped out to Jones. Jones on the attack into the paint. Feeds for Guterich. Left sideline three for the lead. Ring it up. Put three on the board for Marco Guterich. And the Grizzlies on top 56-55.
Great penetration that time, Eric. Got the defense to collapse and then kicking the ball to the corner.
Marco Guterich had 17 points last five games. And Chris Harrington made this point. With this young team, everyone is overreacting to everything, right? This was as Chris put it in his 10 takes on 10 games, which you can read at the Daily Memphian. 5 games ago, this was a bad signing. Everyone says five games ago was a bad signing. Oh, what a waste of a signing. Can't believe that. Can't believe they did that. Well, now he's the last five games, he's been averaging essentially 10 points and 2.5 assists a game. And over those last five games, he couldn't hit a three-pointer when he first got here. He is 9 of 13, shooting 69% from three. That's good, isn't it? I think that's good.
Nice.
We go back to we don't want to leave Ja Morant alone for too long. Here he is again.
Up ahead, Morant. Morant around the back dribble, peels off to the right sideline. Slows down there. He's got Zeller on him. Morant, step back three on the way. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Ja Morant got the opening. He's in double figures with 11. Grizzlies lead 69-67.
Hear that step back three. Over at – and by the way, the country is noticing this stuff. Like, this is from the Slam Twitter account, okay? Slam Twitter account tweets out last night, we're going to remember Ja Morant's rookie year for a long time. That's what we have right here in Memphis, Tennessee.
He's on the front page of NBA.com, this game-winning shot. Like, I mean, it's everywhere.
The whole country is noticing this. He is not the only rookie, however. Here's another one.
Anderson from the top. Dribbles with the left hand into the lane. Hangs in the air, dumps it off Clark. Clark will jam with two hands.
Great pass that time.
Nice pass by Kyle Anderson. 2:54 remaining. See if the Grizzlies can chip away at this lead before the end of the third.
Clark had 13 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, looking like an absolute steal. Why did Brandon Clark fall so far in the draft?
He has short arms, apparently.
He has short arms. That's exactly right. It's NBA. It is funny. It's one of those things that's easy to mock when it doesn't work out, right? Mm-hmm. When a player is awesome despite the fact that that they don't have the measurables that you want. He had really two things against him. He had short arms, and he's old.
Yeah. No, it is weird how in the NBA draft, being a 4 or 5 year guy brings a lot.
And in fairness, I think probably the data suggests that short arms.
Sure.
There is an actual correlation.
Right.
Short arms matter, and your age relative to your draft class matters.
And we also do the move where we always talk about the guy that is the exception, whereas we tend to like look
past. All the short arm dudes who are in there working at Wendy's. Just barely can get the little hamburger to the people because they can barely reach
their hand through the window.
Those people we don't
just
say
yet. Drop my change.
The short arm thing worked perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any science on the hand size in the NFL? Who's a little bitty handed quarterback who's out there slinging it?
I believe the small.
Is there a Brandon Clark of small hands in the NFL?
I think the smallest successful hand guy. Goff has a small one, but Goff's not having a great year. I told you that's one of those. That's one of those ones I 100% believe.
It's another rookie. Back to our theme of rookies for three.
Got his own miss. Monk trying to weave through traffic, brings it back out to the left wing. Picked up by Anderson off the dribble drive into the paint. Hangs in the air, blocked by Anderson, and he caught it in midair, saved it to Solomon Hill. Hill on the attack for Guterich. Left wing three try in rhythm. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Marco Guterich running the floor with his third triple of the night. And just like that, the Grizzlies within four. They've scored eight straight.
Between them, Clark, Guterich, and Ja, 53 points.
That good?
It's just kind of nice. Three rookies, man, isn't it? More John Morant.
Right wing Hill. Dribbles. Bounces to the baseline. Morant, a backdoor cut. Gets the feed and jams with two hands. Monk got caught ball watching, and the Grizzlies tie it up at 96. Another assist for the team. 25 so far in the ballgame.
It feels like we get one of those every game with Ja. Backdoor cuts. Boom. Two-hand jam. Here's more Marco.
Morant up top for Valanciunas. Back to Morant in between the circles, 10 on the shot clock. Morant working on Martin. Shoulders out, gives it for Guterich. Step back three, ring it up, put three on the board. Guterich is feeling it. His best game as a pro in the NBA tonight. 17 for Marco Guterich. Grizzlies lead 99-96, and he looked and gave a little tongue out to the Grizzly bench.
More Morant.
Lobs for Williams, almost threw it away. Williams lost the handle, taken by Anderson. Anderson, left side, drops it off for Morant. Morant to the rim, lays it up and in. Soaring to the front of the iron. Grizzlies using a turnover to start the break, and they lead by 7. 103-96, Morant with 19 points, 10 assists.
This next sequence was awesome. Block, and then Clark hits a three. Talk about surprising people. Like the other thing is he couldn't shoot. Mm-hmm. Well, here he is.
Monk pushes ahead Bridges. Bridges into the lane at Clark. Block. Monk pushes ahead Bridges. Bridges into the lane at Clark. Blocked from behind by Brooks, who takes the ball away. Bridges can't believe there was no foul. Fans are irate. Brooks will bring it up ahead. Boo Birds come out at Spectrum Center. Well, I'd be doing it too if I was a Hornets fan. Clark, left sideline, three. Bring it up. Put three on the board. Dylan Brooks with a defensive play that the referees say was clean. It leads to a Clark three, and the Grizzlies have their first 10-point lead of the night.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. I do not know how in the world Ja Morant did this. Game tied, ball in the hands of Ja Morant. He would later say that he saw an opening. I did not see said opening. I saw three.
Imagine when he gets that call, too. He got hammered.
Yeah, yeah. There's still pictures of it, and
yeah.
You can't believe that he was able to convert this. But here he is, Ja Morant with the winner.
Morant goes in the backcourt to get the loose basketball. Down to 12 on the game clock. Morant working on Rozier. Vet on rookie. 8 seconds. 7 seconds. Morant. Double team comes. Goes at Cody Martin. Into the lane. Hangs in the air. Gets it onto the window.
No!
It falls good. The bucket as Ja Morant splits three Hornet defenders for a go-ahead
left-handed finger roll. You gotta be kidding me. The 20-year-old off the deck through three defenders scoops it home to put the Grizzlies up by two.
I love the
play. What a play by Ja Morant in traffic. The ball hung on the iron, and he finishes it off, and the Hornets have 0.7 seconds left to try to draw something up.
I love the fact that Brandon Clark was there too to Duncan if it hadn't dropped. I liked EP. Listen to EP in the midst of this. He was total professional, cool. Elliot, cool is the backside of a pillow. What is it?
Other side of the pillow.
Cool is the other side of the pillow, and he just exclaims like, "Here's listen to EP in the midst of this highlight."
Double team comes, goes at Cody Martin into the lane, hangs in the air, gets it onto the window.
No! It's good. The bucket as Ja Morant splits three Hornet defenders for a go-ahead left-handed finger roll. You gotta be kidding me. The 20-year-old off the deck through three defenders scoops it home to put the Grizzlies up by two.
Unbelievable. We did, they talked to Ja Morant after the game. And here he is on the winner.
Tell us about the last basket, what you saw develop in front of you and getting to the basket the way you did.
Well, late in the game, they started switching on my ball screen. And coach called my number. He told me to attack. When I come off, wait and then just attack the rack and then make the play. And I got by the defender and I seen like a clear lane, so I just took it.
Second half defensively, you guys seem to make changes and seem to really step up your game. What changed defensively for you?
My mindset. We always preach to always go out and compete and play together and have each other back. And tonight, we all locked in together at halftime and said we need to stop. And we went out and just fought and got stops and was able to score another end.
Through the first handful of games, we talked so much about learning experiences. To get two wins both on the road, what's that say about where this team has grown so far early in the season?
I feel like we're still growing. I feel like our mindset just changed from day one. We just kept everybody have this mindset to get better. Next game, next play, next shot mentality. And we know we have to lock in. And coming on the road is hard to win on the road. My college coach always said, good teams win at home, great teams win on the road. And this road trip, we were just trying to do whatever we could to come out with wins.
You had a lot of folks wearing your jersey here tonight. How much fun to play in front of some home fans?
It felt good just for them to come out and show love and also to be able to deliver the game-winning basket with all of them here. It just felt good. I can't say too much about it.
Ja, congratulations. Great game.
Thank you.
That is Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies, a two-game winning streak on the road, of all things. We are going to take a break. Jonah Jordan is going to join us next, then Barrett Salee, then Chris Harrington, then Steve White. It's a busy day here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Fast, reliable internet. It's important to your business. At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, solutions like automatic 4G LTE backup for more complete reliability.
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected. And bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees. I'm not even done yet. Comcast Business has advanced voice solutions at affordable prices and cloud-based security for all your devices.
And that great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 12/22/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
Found the roof leak.
Where?
See those shingles?
Oh, what do we do now?
I pity the fool. You need the A-Team.
What?
A-Team Roofing in Collierville, one of only two diamond contractors in the Mid-South. They're a licensed general contractor, but also a licensed insurance adjuster. When it comes to insurance approval, the decision really is in the details.
Well, yeah.
Get your roof done right. Call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
You okay?
I'm A-OK.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
November is here. Football getting good, basketball getting busy, the long Thanksgiving holiday weekend going to be here before you know it. Lots going on. If you're the type of person who enjoys a drink, you're going to have lots of reasons to enjoy one this month. And if you're a vodka drinker, please allow me, Gary Parrish, to remind you to grab a bottle of New Amsterdam Vodka. It's a premium, 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains, five times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered three times to create a soft finish. As you surely know by now, it's so smooth you can drink it straight. And yes, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced, which is among the reasons it's the fastest growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. If you're into flavored vodka, New Amsterdam offers a variety. The newest is grapefruit, but they also have apple, peach, orange, mango, pineapple, red berry, coconut, lemon, and raspberry. And check this out. New Amsterdam, they offer a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name when you're in a bar, restaurant, or liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
If you thought attending college while holding down a job was out of the question, CBU's College of Adult Professional Studies can help you make it work. We offer flexible 8-week courses to fit your busy work schedule and budget. And CBU has options to count work experience toward your degree, which saves you money. Contact us today at 901-321-3291 or visit cbu.edu/CAPS. That's cbu.edu/CAPS or 901-321-3291. Work on your degree while you work.
Attention drivers. Join McLane in Memphis for an upcoming hiring event. Come see us November 12th, 13th, and 14th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at 6415 Shelby View Drive in Memphis. McLane has immediate opportunities for CDLA drivers, driver trainees, and shuttle drivers. Start earning great pay and generous benefits. Learn more at drivefrommclainmemphis.com. That's drivefrommclainmemphis.com. McLean, Memphis.com. McLean Company is an equal opportunity employer.
Germantown Hardware and Paint works on all things small engine. If it can be fixed, they will fix it. If not, they have a great inventory. Echo, Steel, and Honda. Whether it's chainsaws, lawnmowers, blowers, Germantown Hardware and Paint has everything you need to get the job done right. If you need it, they have it. Germantown Hardware and Paint, family owned and operated since 2001, with a staff that knows the store with unsurpassable knowledge and customer service. At the corner of Poplar and Germantown Parkway, online at germantownhardware.com.
What would you like to be better at?
Dancing.
Poker.
Yoga.
According to a study, CVS customers are better than most at something important, staying on prescriptions, which tends to make you healthier. So get a free prescription savings review, plus earn up to 50 extra bucks rewards each year for filling. Because of the things you could be better at, staying healthy tops them all. Treat yourself well at CVS. Terms and conditions apply. Not all prescriptions eligible. See our pharmacist or cvs.com/rxsavings or /rxrewards.
As a pro, you're in the Home Depot all year round for the things you need. Pro Black Friday is your chance to get some things you want. Not for a job, for you. Right now, you'll get the best prices of the season, like that Milwaukee Fuel Hammer Drill and Impact Kit you've been wishing for. Now a special buy at just $179. You can even buy online and pick up in store. Come in soon for Pro Black Friday savings, where you'll be wishing you had. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only.
Injured? Dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios. Invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Did you notice the cracks in the walls of your home? Floor is sinking or sloping a little bit. You got water coming in somewhere. Call Redeemers Group. 541-8765 is the phone number. Nothing in life is free except for the expert analysis of Redeemers Group. Seriously, they'll come to your house no cost at all if you give them a call. 541-8765. They'll see what's going on. Maybe nothing's going on, in which case you got the peace of mind knowing nothing's going on. Or maybe you have a problem. And if you have a problem, mention my name, Jeff Calkins. You will get this $50 off any repair project. Seriously, no reason to wait. 541-8765 is the phone number. It's Redeemers Group on the web, redeemersgroup.com. Joined now by Jonah Jordan. He covers the Memphis football team for the Daily Memphian. He is headed to Houston shortly. Joins me now. Jonah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Good. So, first on the Wiseman situation.
Okay.
Best for all, you think, if this thing gets knocked out? No reason why not, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's probably best possible scenario to just settle it, just figure it out, be done with it. Because the longer this drags on, the worse it is for both sides. The more angry both sides get, the more defiant both sides get. In the end, I think that probably would not bode well if it goes all the way to where we think.
What did you think of the game the other night?
Which game?
The game.
The game? The Oregon game?
Yes.
I think Memphis's offense has some problems. I don't think they know how to really... They don't know how to run it. They don't know how to throw post-entry passes really well, which is something young guards struggle with.
Right.
And
this is, by the way, why when people said that it didn't matter if James Wiseman played or not in exhibitions, of course it matters.
Yeah.
You're playing with James Wiseman. You're learning to... The most important piece of the puzzle is not there. It matters. You're exactly right. What did he get? He got a bunch of putbacks.
Yeah.
He was dunking the ball off of putbacks.
He was open a bunch in that game to where I thought, okay, if he gets the ball in the right place, he's going to score. Easy. It's an easy bucket. And they just couldn't get him the ball because they haven't done it enough.
The other weird thing is that for a team that's supposedly loaded with shooters, we've now seen that they can't shoot. Well, I mean, they're not, for whatever reason, shooting at this point. And
the problem I saw was they're not getting shots within the frame of the offense.
Exactly
they're
right.
getting shots off the dribble at the end of the shot clock.
Could they shoot as well as Oregon? Yes, they could if they got the shots that Oregon got.
Yes.
And Oregon was getting much better shots, exactly as you described. All right, onward to Memphis football. So since this Wiseman thing has devoured us.
Yeah.
And then I've been in Portland, so I haven't been around Mike a lot since the big win over SMU. And obviously he has been asked about job stuff, et cetera. What has he said about it?
The same thing he's always said, the same thing he said
Which
for the
is?
Last 3 years. He loves Memphis. He thinks he has one of the best jobs in America. The grass isn't always greener. You know, the standard
nothing
approach
definitive.
He takes.
Nothing definitive.
No.
He just says, I love it here. The grass isn't always greener, et cetera. Okay.
Yes.
And then yesterday was sort of interesting. It feels like, from your piece at the Daily Memphian, he went out of his way to talk about the future.
Yeah. Well, I around this time of the year is kind of the time you start seeing young guys more in practice. Last week on the bye week, they split practice up into two halves. You saw the old guys, the young guys, kind of split it up, and the young guys got a little bit more time with the coaching staff. I think that – so I asked him about some of the young guys yesterday, and he just went on and on about – he named like 10 guys. And then I asked him about Asa Martin, who, you know, former Miami guy, well, Auburn, and then he went to Miami for like a
running
second,
back.
And then he ended up here at Memphis, 4-star out of Alabama. Big deal. And Mike was like, yeah, I love him. And then he named like 6 other guys, and he said he thinks next year could be his most talented – one of his more talented teams while he's here at Memphis.
Okay, and do you think this is strategic? He talks about it because – he talked about it because he knows the rumors are out there, and so he is sort of by implication addressing those things as well? Or do you think he just is excited about
– I think he's legitimately excited. I agree,
but is that why he went
– No, I think he talked about it because I asked him.
Right.
But, like – That's something that always comes up when you're talking to people about the possibility of Mike Leland. It's like, well, they could be better than they are
next year. No question. The reality of what a coach has coming back will ultimately help shape any coach's decision. I think Justin Fuente, he could have had Paxton Lynch coming back and he still would have gone taken the Virginia Tech job, right?
100%.
But the fact that Paxton was leaving does make it easy. Like, all right, this is a good time to get the hell out.
Yeah.
Like, again, I think he would have taken it anyway. But you're exactly right. With Memphis, if it's not the perfect job for Mike, there's no reason to think they won't be just as good next year, is there?
Oh, no, they'll be better next year. Like, I think with what they have coming in this recruiting class, with what could come back, I mean, theoretically, Pop Williams comes back, Sean Dykes could come back.
Is Patrick Pop
Taylor
coming back?
I think I'm pretty sure Pop will be coming back.
He's a senior, right? This was last year's redshirt, right?
He's redshirting, and you know those things can change after the season. They look at things, but as of right now, I'm pretty sure he's coming back. Sean could come back. Patrick Taylor could come back.
We'll get to him in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get to him in a second. But I mean, Kenny Gainwell is going to be a redshirt sophomore next year.
They lose. Well, and the main thing is, Kenny Gainwell's back. Brady presumably is back.
I don't know where Brady would go.
Yeah, certainly, if Mike is back, Brady's back, right? So they lose who?
So you lose Joey Magnifico, Dustin Woodard, Scotty Dill.
Those are two starting offensive linemen.
But I think they
Antonio.
And then Antonio Gibson. Kadarian Jones. I think Kadarian Jones is a senior. Then a couple guys on defense. But I think the biggest one would obviously be Joey because he does so much for this offense that people don't really realize. He's such a good blocker. He basically acts as a fullback
Antonio
sometimes.
Antonio Gibson did a lot for this offense, I noticed, the last game.
Oh, my gosh.
I noticed he did a lot. I'm as a keen Football Observer. I kept noticing him, whether it was running the ball, catching the ball, or
really incredible.
Yeah, he was awesome. Okay, what do you think of the Arkansas job? You don't believe in it?
No, I'm not a big believer at the moment. I think there's some trepidation.
Well, very clearly. What did we say, Jeffrey? We said it's worse than Alabama, worse than Auburn, worse than LSU, worse than Alabama, Auburn, LSU, A&M.
In its division.
In its division.
Yeah.
So it's at the best the fifth job in the division.
I think Ole Miss is better than it.
I personally would rather have the Ole Miss job.
Yeah,
than
I would rather have
the
Ole Miss job than Arkansas.
On the theory that there's more talent in Mississippi?
Correct.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I understand Arkansas has more money and whatnot, but I just think in general it's been proven that it's easier to get top-level talent at Ole Miss than it is at Arkansas.
Yeah, because at Arkansas you have to go into Texas, and now the SMU's good.
Do you think
TCU, blah, blah, blah.
Did A&M joining the SEC kill Arkansas?
I don't know if it killed him, but I think
it hurt him.
It significantly diminished
the
job.
Because they could say, if you want to play in the SEC, you got to come play here.
Part of the appeal of Chad Morris was he had East Texas connections. And then I think another thing that's also helped is that LSU has gotten back into really, really getting into East Texas as well.
So I think whoever gets hired at Arkansas, I think one reason that Mike's name comes up so much is that.
Why would Manziel take it then? Oh, go ahead. Yes.
Well, but I think you have to go the other way. You have to go into Alabama, you have to go into Mississippi, you have to go into Louisiana, Tennessee. You have to go the other way because Texas and Oklahoma, I mean, you could probably recruit Oklahoma because Memphis has, but it's still a difficult job. It's not going to be easy.
Right.
I think Memphis is a better job.
Interesting. Of course, these coaches keep making it a better job. All right, and then they got Houston, and then South Florida, and then Cincinnati, and then Cincinnati.
If they win out, they get Cincinnati and Cincinnati.
Right. What do you think? Which of those games, of the four, let's pretend they're going to play all four.
Okay.
Which of the four would worry you the most?
The
obviously, they
Cincinnati
won't play the last Cincinnati game worries you the most.
It's hard to beat a team twice. It's even harder to beat
a team. It's not a harder team twice if you're better than them, but it's a coin flip.
It's
a coin flip, right.
Yeah.
I've seen the Patriots beat the Bills like 70 billion times.
it's twice every year for the last
172 years, I think.
But it's different because Memphis and Cincinnati –
Oh, you're about
geez,
to fall over.
Good Lord. Are theoretically.
Right, so how much does a Houston team worry you? Houston game.
No, not a lot. I think they're
on the road.
I think Houston's a tough place to play.
They gave SMU a tussle.
Yeah, but people that were playing in that game aren't playing against Memphis now. I mean, their running back who rushed for 100-plus yards in the last two games isn't going to play against Memphis.
Is Patrick Taylor going to play for
I think
Memphis?
He will.
You think he will?
I think he will.
Pat's back.
I think so. I think if he does play, it'll be
now. If
won't be as
if
much,
he wants to redshirt,
he has to play.
He can play three more games.
Three
right?
more, yes.
So, you think why this one? Why not just wait and play Cincinnati, Cotton Bowl?
He's from Houston. I think that could play a motivating factor.
You could always come back, see where you are, right?
Yes.
And then see what happens.
Because you don't want to come back against Cincinnati and be like, oh, I can't do this.
I'm not good. You don't want to,
Yeah, and so come back against Houston, test it out, and see where you're at.
I see him. That's very interesting. All right, read Jonah Jordan in the Daily Memphian and follow him on Twitter @_JonahJordan. Thank you, Jonah. When we come back, Barrett Silley is going to join us to talk more college football, then Chris Harrington at 10:01, then Steve White. We got a busy day in front of us. It's Jeff Gawkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
The internet. You need it. Almost every minute of the day. Because, hey, you've got shows to stream, emails to reply all to, and LOLs to, LOL. That's why you need Xfinity. You can get the fastest, most reliable internet with gig speeds available. So you can get online and get down to business faster. And Xfinity delivers enhanced network security so all your connected devices are protected. Get instant alerts when strangers are trying to hop on your network. Set curfews with parental controls and pause your Wi-Fi at dinner time. That's life with Xfinity, the best internet provider in America, according to speedtest.net. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Or get four times the speed for just $10 more a month for 12 months. Plus, add enhanced network security. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires equal bill and autopay. Ends 1-7-20. Restrictions apply. New performance starter 25 megabits per second internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
Are you looking for a new 2020 baseball bat or glove? All American Sporting Goods is now having their special Bat Friday sale on all bats and gloves. loves. Now is the time to order for the best price. Don't wait until the start of the year or you will be spending more money. Order now. They'll guarantee delivery on your bat or glove before Christmas or your money back. So this is a perfect Christmas gift for your little slugger. They offer all of the top brands: Easton, Louisville Slugger, DeMarini, Marucci, Mizuno, Wilson, and many more. Plus, they'll add your player's name and number on their bat free of charge. Visit their Facebook page for details or call 901-324-3783 if you have any questions. Order site open until November 17th. Free bat personalization and best price on all 2020 bats and gloves. All-American Bat Friday sale will match any advertised price, so take advantage of this exclusive offer. All-American Sporting Goods, serving the Mid-South for over 50 years.
Access granted. Welcome to Flash. Ignition activated. Implementing instant play sensor system. Prepare to engage in fun and warp speed in T-minus 3, 2, 1. Flash forward to the fun with new Flash instant games loaded with cash prizes. Play today and you could win up to $1,000 in a flash. The new cash-packed Flash instant games. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Here's your chance to play three times a day and once on Sundays with the Tennessee Lottery. With Cash 3 and Cash 4, your favorite numbers can win you anywhere from $500 on Cash 3 up to $5,000 on Cash 4. So plan to play your favorite numbers. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. And save time using the convenient mobile playslip on your Tennessee Lottery app. Build and save your playslip to use again and again at your favorite lottery retailer. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Are you hungry for the usual today? Or are you ready to spice things up with the new Nashville Hot Brisket from Firehouse Subs? We're kicking up our slow-smoked beef brisket with Nashville Hot Seasoning. It's topped with melted pepper jack and our sweet and tangy slaw, served piping hot on a toasted cornbread roll. Yeah, a cornbread roll. Save time. Order your new Nashville Hot Brisket on the Firehouse Subs app today. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only.
Hey Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Old Man Winter is knocking on the door. Make sure your furnace is ready. Right now, get a furnace tune-up for $49, and if you know it's time for a new one, we can install a high-efficiency train system for as little as $130 a month. Call us today for an appointment, 624-1401. That's 624-1401. When it comes to your comfort, you deserve the best.
You deserve the best. Best Care Home Services.
Remember the first time you climbed the high dive ladder? You thought about it all summer. You watched the others. Now, all your friends were watching you. Life is full of these high dive moments. But when you have a bank like First Horizon behind you, you've got the confidence to make a big splash. Now you can get a jump on your finances with a special bonus when you open any checking account. First Horizon, understanding runs deep. Visit firsthorizon.com/leap.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
It's the Jason and John Show.
Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Kendrick Perkins. Do you like what you see with Jaren Jackson Jr. and with, you know, the conflict bringing Ja as well?
Listen, I'm telling you, man, Memphis is going to be a force to be reckoned with. The future is bright.
Morant gets by Wiggins to the baseline, hangs and reverses it up and in off the window. Wow, what a move by Ja Morant on a quick move through the baseline.
The city, Memphis. The station, 92.9 FM ESPN. Memphis's number one sports place. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back in the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Barrett Selly. Barrett Selly, of course, college football writer for CBS Sports, host Sirius XM Radio, College Sports, and on Twitter, at Barrett Selly. He joins me now. Barrett, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm fabulous. What did you think of the playoff rankings?
I was a little surprised that Georgia was 4 and Alabama was fine, or 5. I thought that'd be flipped. I had that flipped in my CBS 130 ballot. So I was a little surprised that that committee valued 2 good wins by Georgia over, I think, the worst loss of any of the one-loss teams. So that surprised me a little bit, especially considering, I guess in theory, Alabama had at least a small chance there at the end against LSU. So that part surprised me a little bit. Minnesota jumping up didn't surprise me. I am a little surprised that they didn't jump up even farther because, A, that's a big win over a good Penn State team, especially the way they won it. But also, B, you know, their average margin of victory over the last, really since the start of October, is 26.4 points per game, and that's factoring in the 5-point win over Penn State. So I was a little surprised that Minnesota actually didn't even jump up farther.
The Auburn-Georgia thing is sort of inconsequential in the end, isn't it? It will take care of itself starting this weekend.
Yeah, Georgia wins out, Georgia's in. Alabama right now, I said it before the rankings came out, that wherever they were this week, that was kind of their ceiling unless more unexpected things happen. So right now, 5 is kind of where they're going to be until they get jumped, as long as we don't have, some shenanigans. Now, that's assuming an awful lot because it's college football and shenanigans are A, awesome, and B, happen all the time. But Alabama right now, because they really don't have a signature win, and even if they win out, their signature win would be over what could be an 8-4 Auburn team. That resume is not going to stack up. And the eye test matters to a point, but it's going to be really hard to explain why Alabama, with no signature win and no division title, deserves to be in, unless that debate includes Oregon, which has a loss to Auburn, and Alabama has a win over Auburn on their resume.
Well, I guess that's the question. So what will it take for Alabama to, presuming that it's whatever, Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU are the top 3, what will it take for Alabama to be 4? And who would likely slot into 4?
The only way I think that Alabama would get to number 4 with that landscape would be if they went out and Oregon wins the Pac-12 with one loss, because then they could point to Alabama would point to common opponents and Oregon's loss compared to Alabama's hypothetical win. And yes, conference championships and division championships are factored in, but they've said in the past that those are more tiebreaker type factors. And if you have a common opponent like Oregon and Alabama does at that point, that to me anyway will probably outweigh the championship. So I think if everything in that scenario. Really, the only way Alabama gets in is if its only other option is one loss Pac-12 champ Oregon.
So I fundamentally want an expanded playoff. That's what I want, Barrett. So if I want that, what I really should want is for Alabama to get in some way that outrages other conferences, right? In other words, the thing you just described, for those who want an expanded playoff, that would be great. Because then the Pac-12 was like, what the hell? Like, we have a one loss, we're one loss, they're one loss, we want a chance, let's expand the playoff, right? I mean, isn't that the way we get an expanded playoff?
Yeah, that would be, if you do want to expand a playoff, incidentally, I don't, but if you do want an expanded playoff, that would be a scenario that creates outrage. Because nobody loves to yell more. No team, creates that kind of visceral emotion than Alabama, right? Just in general. And if they get in without a division title for the second time in 3 years, and there is a legitimate other option, then that's not going to sell. I mean, because 2 years ago, there really wasn't a legitimate option.
Right.
So I think, yes, people outside the country got upset about it. But, I mean, realistically, there was not an option. If there is this year and Alabama still gets that bump, then the wheels for an expanded playoff will start turning real quick.
Why, just for the record, are you against an expanded playoff?
Because I don't think that, many reasons. One, an 8-team playoff would only happen if you have automatic bids for conference champions. And a conference championship should not factor into you being an elite football team. It doesn't matter where, what conference you aligned with, you know, 6-7 decades ago, and where you are located geographically should not determine in any way, shape, or form how good you are. And in this landscape of college football with 130 teams, you know, subjectivity has to be a big part of it, because there's no way to objectively determine which teams are good and which teams are bad. So I want this to mean something. I think the debate and frustration and rankings and the unknown drives the sport. The fact that we don't know in week two how much a game will factor into what happens in week 14 is a big reason why the sport is successful. Because, you know, that Auburn-Oregon game at the time was a great win, and now we look, and now it becomes even bigger because of what happened. So, you know, I'm in favor of excellence over access, and if you expand the playoff, it only comes with automatic bids for conference champions. And then at that point, you wouldn't be in the business of rewarding excellence. You would be in the business of granting access.
I'm not going to waste a lot of time on this, but doesn't every single league in the country base it? If you win your division, you're in the playoffs. That's true in the NFL. It's true. And you can have weak sisters in your division that year, or you can, but it's who you happen to be lumped with. It's not always the best team. And that is literally in every other league in the world does it that way, except for college football.
Was that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a good
thing. That's a bad thing.
Okay,
I'd say it's a bad thing.
All right, okay.
I'd say it's a bad thing.
Well, at least you're consistent. At least that is true. Okay, moving on. What'd you think of Alabama LSU, by the way?
I thought that it was wild, man. I thought there would be less scoring. I actually picked the under. I thought that there would be a little bit more defense played. Joe Burrow, I've seen LSU 3 times now. I mean, watching him play is just a treat. And I said it before the game that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if he repeats what he did against Auburn, then they're going to win and win handily. And look what he did. He was the most important player on the field by far in that game. And that LSU team's so much fun, man.
It's funny because I saw Trent Dilfer. I didn't read the piece. I just saw the headline once again that he said that Tua, best prospect he's evaluated in 10 years or something like that. Is it clear to you that Tua is better than Joe Burrow?
No, not at all. I think, you know, Tua, this year for Tua, it sort of confirmed a little bit about who he is. Because, you know, Nick Saban harped on in the offseason, don't, you know, take the home run all the time. You know, you don't go broke taking a profit. And yet Tua still throws up those YOLO balls all the time. And think about this. In Tua's most important 3 games as a starting quarterback for Alabama, they've lost all 3. No, I'm sorry. He's been ineffective in all 3,
right.
Or they've lost.
Right.
The Clemson game, the LSU game this week, and the Georgia game, in the SEC championship game when he was ineffective. So, I don't know. To me, Burrow is just so good. He makes every throw and, you know, proven leader, and I just love that guy.
Hearing anything more about the FSU job and Mike Norvell be in the mix?
There's a lot of rumors coming out of Tallahassee. I think a lot of that is just posturing. Would they hire Mike Norvell? I think he would be in that mix. I think he would be more likely to be in the mix for Arkansas as opposed to Florida State, just because I don't think Florida State feels like it should or could hire a coach that does not have, you know, Power 5 experience.
Yep.
I think Mike Norvell would kill it there. I don't think that Florida State is in a position themselves to try to write that off and explain that away to their boosters.
How good do you think the Arkansas job is?
It's pretty bad. it's pretty bad. And obviously the neighborhood you live in and the SEC West and stuff, but I said it from the moment Texas A&M got invited to the SEC, the school that's going to hurt most is Arkansas, because they have relied so heavily on the state of Texas to recruit. Now they're just not getting those guys. I mean, if Chad Morris can't get those guys with his deep Texas ties, I don't know who can. So yeah, it's not a very good job. They're struggling, and I don't know how they're going to get out of this.
Do you think Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Kentucky, all better than jobs than Arkansas?
Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Kentucky. Yes.
All three.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State have, I'd say, a better recruiting base and easier tentacles and more tentacles outside of their state to go get players, because the players in adjoining states are still good, even the three-star kids. Kentucky, great facilities, easier division. I think a better recruiting base, not just with the state, but also, you know, sort of, you know, teetering into Ohio. Yeah, I think all those are better than Arkansas.
All right, well, to give you just one game today, Auburn, Georgia.
Georgia, to me, I mean, defense travels. They haven't allowed a rushing touchdown all season, and Auburn, you know, they have to establish the run if they're going to be even remotely effective offensively.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.